news. Let us pray. Justice Bringer, as we hear the message from your holy word, we wonder how often similar situations are lived out in the world today. Reach through the pages and rekindle the light of your passion for justice and righteousness within us. Give us the courage we need to speak, to stand against cruelty and oppression. Remind us always that your kingdom of love cannot exist when hate and oppression reign. We offer this and all our prayers in the strong name of our brother, Christ. Amen. We're so close now. This reading ends the Passion narrative, indeed, right to the cross itself. But we're not there yet. It's like glimpsing the days ahead, feeling as if you've lived them, only to wake with the road still before you. Today we heard the crowds screaming, "Crucify him." They shouted this as Pilate presented Jesus to them, and we want so badly to change those shouts of hate and derision to shouts of joy and triumph, shouts of Hosanna. But as much as we want to, we can't turn ourselves from the spectacle before us, the crowd, the Christ, the cross. Because this is where we are. Tomorrow we'll wake up, and it will be less than a week before palms and praise. But until then, we're bound by the noise, by the anger, by the pain, much in the same way as Christ is bound in the company of Pilate. And yet, like Christ, we are walking this road because we choose to. Because we know that we must. It's not to hear stories to make us feel bad, but to remind us of the brokenness of the world then and now. To shine a light on the brokenness of each of us and our relationships between one another and with God. We hear these stories and are convicted, not that we might be chained by our guilt, but rather set free to live rightly with one another. Because Christ, his message of love, his teachings are as necessary for us today as they ever were in his own day. We have walked this road to be reminded of how he embodied a king in the most backwards and yet most transforming way. Because he is the king of a kingdom that is so unlike the society of the first or the 21st century. We can see this most clearly in how easily hate is drummed up against Christ in the crowd. We can see parallels to our own time, when rooms full of people can be so easily swayed by hate, even cheer for it. No matter how many times Pilate comes out and says that there is no case to be found against this man, the chorus of "Crucify him" comes back. The voice and the power of the mob can be a frightening thing. Even Pilate, an official of the state with a comfortable life and lots of power in his own right, is uneasy and fears what is happening. And yet even against that power, he strives to act, to find a way to release Jesus, to offer opportunity after opportunity to let him go. Though he was ultimately unsuccessful, there is something here for us to pick up and carry with us. We live in a society that is more aware of the issue of bullying than ever before. Boys will be boys, or kids will be kids, just isn't acceptable anymore, because demeaning people isn't fun and games. Taking away someone's dignity doesn't make them stronger. It just leaves them broken. And yet, aware as we are, or say we are somehow still a world where bullies have a lot of power. And I don't just mean political power, but I do mean that too. Bullying still exists on our playgrounds as much as the wisdom of our children here today cries out against it. And from what I hear and have seen, it's even worse today than when I was on the short end of the stick of bullying in my own childhood. And of course, it isn't limited to the playground because we see it all around us. Grown men and women gaining some measure of prestige at the expense of another human being. And I wish that I could say, I really do wish that I could say, that these are just things that we see as we look out these beautifully stained glass windows, that it's the world outside. But the truth is that the church is fertile ground for people who seek to use and abuse power at the expense and suffering of people. Indeed, the body of Christ is damaged when a bully takes the reins of committees, of boards, of pulpits. In many ways, the church of today can easily become just like that thing that Jesus grew up in, spoke and taught against, ultimately died at the hands of, a faith corrupt. We have seen, or at least come to know dimly, the humiliation and the dehumanization of that Jesus bore on the cross. And as we stand in the shadow of that act, with the shouts of the crowds echoing in our minds, we must ask ourselves, who were we in this story? We already know that the disciples, or at least most of them, have more or less dispersed. Only the closest to Christ remain. We heard a few weeks ago of Peter's denial and have heard nothing of him since. Are we one of them? Eager to listen, eager to follow, quick to run? What about the crowd? They shout and cry for this man's death, and death in the worst possible way. I can't tell you enough how bad crucifixion was and is. And they were crying for that. And yet surely among those gathered are a few who, on Palm Sunday, our future, their past, cried, Hosanna! Blessed this one who came in the name of God. Are we one of them? Swayed and turned by the message that is shouted the loudest. Careless of whether it is right or just. Maybe we are those who are stirring up the crowd. Maybe deep down we know that we have not always treated our brothers and our sisters of this world with the respect that they deserve, that we would expect from anyone else. I'm not trying to be harsh, and surely we haven't outright encouraged people to call for someone's death in the worst possible way. But what about gossip? It is a cancer that poisons our relationships with one another, and it destroys churches. So are we one of them? One who passes information purely to damage, to incite fear or distrust? There are a lot of parts to play in the scene before us, and none of them are particularly appealing. We don't want to run in the face of fear. We don't want to bend to fear's will. We don't want to spread fear. But as I said earlier, the power of the mob can be an intimidating thing. We have seen how words of hate, words that should enrage, have emboldened and empowered groups of people against those on the margins, those in minority situations. That's the trick about living in a democracy. Ideally, the will of the people, of the majority, is lived out and done so in a life-giving way. But what about when the majority wants something that demeans, even damages, a group of people who are themselves simply trying to live? Are we okay with majority rule when it puts the boot of power on the back of other human beings? I hope not. I hope not. And I want to be clear, the minority, the marginalized, I'm talking about the poor and the persecuted, the disenfranchised and the demoralized. I'm speaking about those people who sound and look different because they were born and raised somewhere else and want to call this place home with as much right as anyone else. I'm talking about brothers and sisters who only want the same freedom that many of us take for granted, to love and to be loved. I'm talking about those people who Christ called us to love because they aren't the power, because they are often trod upon by the power. Because majority rule can't change the reality that each of us deserves our dignity. And caring for those on the margins doesn't diminish us and our freedom just because we can't hate or discriminate freely. This is part of the call of the Holy Spirit and a message that we should hear loud and clear in the reading of John's Gospel today. It's part of the creed that we've been reciting together since the beginning of Lent, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil. Loving and serving one another, that's only difficult when we allow our own prejudice, our own fear to get in the way. But seeking justice, resisting evil, that requires us to stand against the tide of prejudice and fear of others. To be part of the crowd and yet apart from it. To lift up our voices as high as those shout, "Crucify him!" Shouting back for peace, for justice, for truth, for mercy. The Holy Spirit also calls us to be hopeful and persistent in the face of overwhelming odds, because a bully, a tyrant, can be terrible. And the crowd that supports them can be frightening. But all it takes is a voice crying out for justice to stir the hearts and minds of those who want the same thing, but who fear has made complicit and silent. Seeking justice is about listening to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the shouting crowd. It's about acting out of love instead of hate, out of hope, hope instead of fear. So if we can be anyone in this reading today, let us be those who stand with Christ, few though they may be. The disciple whom he loved, the women who were never far from him. Let us never be content to remain silent even when the whole world seems embodied by hate. Let us pray for courage. Stand for justice and speak out for love and truth. Let us walk beside Christ. From palms to Pilate to punishment. Because we know that hate and fear do not have the last word in this story. For the one that we call the way, the truth, and the life walks with us still. King in our hearts, light on our path, hope for the world. We're close now. We're so close. Let our feet not grow weary, nor our hearts grow faint, as we continue this journey of faith. Amen.